near a wood, so I'm often going out into the woods and stuff. You often come across kind of animals up to their business, getting on with their lives, which is I always find really interesting, kind of like stopping and just watching what they're up to. I'm actually currently, whilst talking to you, very much listening to you, but staring out the window, watching some pigeons on the roof.
There's something, you know, when you're outside listening to nature, it's great. But when you're listening to nature through a microphone, your headphones on.
Oh, something else, man. That transports you. I think it's the excitement of knowing you're capturing a sound that's, in theory, never going to happen again. And you're documenting it there and then. It kind of contextualized your surroundings. Like, you're in that moment, but you're somehow taken, you're elevated, almost like you're above what's happening there and then, which is really a magical feeling. You're editing kind of reality.
This is proper sounds good right territory now. We're talking about editing reality.
What about alien stuff? Two summers ago, this is my level of aliens. Ended up sitting on the floor at a festival, watching the orb play whilst eating fried chicken with just me and Nightmares on Wax, talking about aliens. Buttermilk fried chicken. And talking about aliens that he'd seen in his back garden in Ibiza on the sea. We should get him to talk about it. He's well up to talking about this shit as well.
Give me a bit of a prezi of the conversation.
Oh, dude. He was saying that he fully fucking saw, like, some kind of weird-shaped, spiked shape. I think there was three of them came out of the ocean. He reckons they live in the sea. But also, I think I've definitely spotted an unidentified flying object as well. On my way home. Let's do an episode about alien, like an unidentified flying object. Winchester is meant to be one of the hot spots for, because we have loads of like crop circles and stuff around here as well, obviously, because it's the countryside.
One November evening last year, Mrs. Bowles and a friend of the family, Mr. Pratt, were driving out of Winchester when they saw a light in the sky, a light seen by many other people that night.
This is where we see the large orange light.
That's right, yes, we did.
There's a really interesting old video of an old lady and an old guy who are about a mile away from my house now, who got stopped by an alien in the 1970s. And it's the local news report on them getting interviewed about a man stopping them in their car on an old country road.
That was when we see what I shall say a cigar-shaped object hovering in front of us.
He stopped, he walked right in front of our car. And then he came over and he was this weird shining thing.
No, he was a tall man, roughly 6'1", 6'2". He had pink eyes, which were very piercing. He had sideboards and a beard, which met. He looked in at me, then he looked at Ted. After looking at Ted, he looked at my dashboard. And as he was...
And literally a mile away from there, I saw something stop in the sky above me on the way home with my partner. She was with me as well. It stopped probably about 300 feet away in distance ahead of us, and probably a couple hundred feet in the sky, this light just stopped, fixated. This is before drones. This thing just fucking stopped and hovered for a while, and the light seemed to like move, and then it just zipped. But probably like 500 meters just zipped from my eye line into the distance and stopped. For like 5 or 10 seconds, and then just disappeared at like a rate I had no comprehension of. It was insane. It was insane.
You are listening to a conversation with musician James Alexander Bright. I'm a big fan of James's music, and initially when I planned to have him on the show, we were going to talk about echoes. And we did, eventually.
Yo, T-Bone, did you produce this?
Sounds good, right?
I've got quite a lot of stuff on echoes already recorded.
Because I was going to go on, like, the physical form of, like, as a kid, like, going into tunnels and shouting.
I just had this conversation with a guy called Trevor Cox. He wrote a book called Sonic Wonderland. He recorded the longest echo of all time.
Normally when you make a mistake with improvisation, it has the good grace to disappear, but it doesn't here.
I had a really vivid memory the other day, walking into town to the studio, talking to my eldest son about how I used to play on the school playground as like a 6 or 7 year old. When the wind picked up, opening my jacket up. Like feeling the strength of the wind and how it felt like I was going to take off. And that he should put his hands in his pockets and open his jacket and see if he can fly, basically. In the playground, we had this tunnel, like a tube. And why do memories of playing as a kid, they always involve tunnels or trees or whatever. And I used to get in one end of the tunnel, and my brother used to get in the other end of the tunnel, and we used to shout at each other. The echo, the delay in our voice was just fascinating. It's kind of otherworldly, isn't it? Like, you know, so aware of sounds around you. At that point, it was just like, wow, what the hell is this? Like short shouts, and, you know, the delay, and then long, you know, different pitches, different kind of sounds, clapping.
Because obviously echo is dependent on space and stuff. So is space a real big part of your work?
I think so. Just kind of like actually giving someone an idea of kind of an otherworldliness, I guess. Again, setting up a sound base, kind of giving them a starting point, basically, somewhere to jump off of. And delay obviously has a part to play in that, giving someone a reference of either where they are or where they could be going. I always find kind of a building sound and delays kind of gives you this otherworldliness to start off with. A parallel universe, I guess, like somewhere where we haven't got the daily strains of life, and you can, not necessarily a paradise situation, but somewhere where you've got time to think and look. Like I'm one of those people that will kind of stop and stare at things for a little while. Daydreaming. My eldest son does a lot of daydreaming. Unfortunately for him, he's very much like me. He'll stare off into the distance and kind of take stuff in. Don't get as much time to do it now, but I think that's kind of one of the things my music brings to me, is having that time to be able to kind of lose yourself in sound or in a realm that you necessarily wouldn't be able to get to on the day-to-day. I always found that I was very much encouraged as a child to draw, and I'd record things, which is kind of a nice touching kind of base, I guess, for our relationship over the years. Recording the radio as a kid, I'd record like little kind of the sound of opening a door, or I'd sing little songs into the cassette deck. I have very strong memories of that. And also drawing. If I wanted something as a kid, my mum would make me draw the thing. You know, like kids do. They're like, no, oh, Dad, like, I want this new bit of Lego or whatever it is that they want. And I was always kind of encouraged to just to sit and draw these things. My happy time was spent drawing and singing and recording things. So it's very odd that my adult life has turned into pretty much the same thing. It's a natural progression. The vibrational thing, everything vibrates. My partner's a gardener. She grows lots of things. I'm sat in a room now and there's like stuff growing everywhere. Everything vibrates. Everything admits a frequency. I don't know if that's like a happy place, like when you're sat with an instrument or something, or and you're kind of, you're sat and you're within or playing with that instrument, whether there's some kind of frequency you're giving off and whether that kind of sets the tempo or the vibe. The old added story of like people are giving off bad vibrations, like if there's someone that's trying to like withhold something or has bad intentions. I don't know, I haven't really delved into it too much, but I'm quite good at reading a character. I think vibrations is an important part of like of music. Greenery is not a bad thing, is it? It is inspiring. It's magic, isn't it? Seeing things grow and from nothing to thriving. I don't do as much at the moment, but have done on previous records kind of quite a lot of field recording and stuff. Kind of spending time outdoors is quite important. Everything vibrates.
Thanks to James for talking to me. I knew he'd be great on this show. His new single, Fall For You, is out now on the Athens of the North imprint. And there is an album to follow later in the year, so watch this space. If you enjoyed that, then of course check out James and his music. You'll find him in all the usual places. But if you want to say thank you for the time spent, then please just leave a review, give us a rating, like and subscribe, and all those podcasty things. It really does help people find us. And if you're feeling extra generous, go to tbone.productions and get yourself some Sounds Good Right merch. I've been demoing a bit of it on my Insta. It looks great. I'm wearing a hat now. This episode was recorded, mixed and sound designed by me, Tom Wally. And the music was from James Alexander Bright. He sent me some noodles, some sketches, some ambient bits, some instrumentals, and just let me play with them. So thank you. I'll see you next time.
Yo, T-Bone, did you produce this?
Sounds good, right?